Now, like most general practitioners, I find that the number of patients complaining of depression as a symptom is extremely high, and yet the diagnosis and management of these patients seems to be fraught with difficulties. I'd very much like to have your comments as a consultant psychiatrist on the recognition of depressive illness in general practice, and in particular, advice as to the type of patient who should be referred for psychiatric opinion and help.
Yes, by all means. Well, as I see it, the difficulties are first of all to recognize depression as the predominant feature of a mental illness, and then having done so, to assess and classify the depressive illness so that appropriate measures may be taken without delay.
Now, you know, patients often complain to me of being depressed when I can be quite sure from their behavior and their demeanor that they're suffering from an anxiety or tension state rather than from a depressive illness.
Just so. Well, this distinction is, of course, extremely important. And briefly, I feel the main difference lies in the patient's approach to his illness. In an anxiety state, the patient tends to be apprehensive and to have fear and concern for the future. Depressive states, on the other hand, tend to be associated with regret and with remorse for the past.
Now, what are the main types and features of depressive illnesses?
Well, they can be classified in a variety of ways. However, I find that a good working classification is a broad division into two main groups, psychoneurotic depression and psychotic depression, both of which can be further subdivided.
Well, what then are the distinguishing features of these two broad divisions?
Well, first of all, let's consider the mental state of the patient. In psychoneurotic depression, there would appear to be a quantitative change in the patient's mental state, what you might call an exaggerated emotional reaction.
Yes.
The patient tends to be tearful, possibly apprehensive or jumpy, and is usually open to reassurance. In the psychotic depressions, on the other hand, the change in the mental state usually appears to be more qualitative, with retardation of mental and physical processes characterized by lack of concentration, loss of mental acuity, diminution of bodily activity, and malaise. The patient may develop feelings of unworthiness with a sense of self-reproach and guilt. Abnormal thought disorders may even progress to paranoid ideas.
Yes, I can see that the psychotic depressions are of much more serious type of mental illness than the psychoneurotic depressions.
Yes, indeed, and they differ in a number of other ways. Psychoneurotic depression tends to occur in highly strung, temperamental individuals. A family history of depressive illness is often absent, and reaction to recent or chronic stress is apparent. The patient may often complain of difficulty in getting off to sleep. The natural history of the illness depends on the provocation, and recovery mainly depends on personality adjustment to environmental conditions.
And how does this picture differ from the psychotic depressions?
Well, the psychotic depressions tend to occur in the more robust type of personality. There's often a family history of depressive illness and possibly a previous history of similar episodes. And in contrast to the psychoneurotic depressions, there's little relationship between the severity of the depressive illness and environmental circumstances. The natural history of the illness is a tendency to spontaneous recovery after a variable period, and a tendency to relapse at intervals. The depression is usually worse in the morning, with gradual improvement as the day goes on. Early waking is a common complaint.
Yes, and how about the risk of suicide?
Well, as you know, there's a risk of suicide in all depressive illnesses. But this risk is generally considerably greater in psychotic depressions than in psychoneurotic depressions.
I see. And now I wonder if you'd be kind enough to go over your classification and discuss it more fully.
Yes, of course. Well, as I mentioned previously, depressive illnesses fall into two main categories, psychoneurotic depression and psychotic depression. Now let's consider the psychoneurotic depressions. They may be divided into two main types. First, there's reactive depression. This is an abnormally intense and prolonged depression secondary to environmental circumstances. It may be a reaction to emotional stress such as financial difficulty, family bereavement, or frustration. Reactive depressions are very seldom sufficiently severe to merit admission to a mental hospital.
Yes, well, that seems fairly straightforward.
Yes. Now, the second type of psychoneurotic depression is the so-called mixed depressive state, which typically includes symptoms of anxiety and depression. The condition of anxiety neurosis may have many depressive features, and if it progresses, the patient invariably begins to show signs of a true depression. And this depression, of course, is accompanied by a mixture of other psychoneurotic symptoms, which may be manifestations of anxiety, hysteria, or obsessive-compulsive neurosis.
Yes, I see. And now, how about the psychotic depressions?
Well, firstly, I think I should mention simple endogenous depression. Now, this tends to be familial, recurrent, and conforming to a fairly consistent pattern as regards depth of depression and duration of the episode prior to spontaneous remission.
Yes.
It is clearly disproportionate to any apparent environmental stress and out of character in the patient concerned.
Yes, I see.
But don't confuse it with involutional melancholia. That's a depressive illness of similar character but occurring in a rather older age group, perhaps 45 to 55 years in women and a few years later in men. In its most typical form, there is usually extreme agitation, often characterized by manifestations such as continuous wringing of the hands.
Now, you mentioned the older age group.
Yes.
I'd assume then that senile depression would also be classified under the psychotic depression.
Ah, yes, but senile depression shouldn't be confused with senile dementia.
Oh.
Senile depression is similar in character to the other psychotic depressions. It can remit spontaneously and is amenable to treatment.
Yes. And are there any other types of psychotic depression?
Oh, yes, several. One of particular interest is postpartum depression, a psychotic depression following delivery. Now, in addition to these two main groups, depression can be associated with other psychiatric illnesses and, for that matter, with physical disease states. For example, depression may be a feature of schizophrenia, and I'm sure you'll have come across instances of depression following influenza, head injury, and alcoholism, and with long-standing physical disease states such as rheumatoid arthritis.
Yes, that's very interesting indeed, but I'd like, if I may, to revert to my original question.
By all means.
Which depressed patient would you say should be referred for psychiatric advice?
Well, in my opinion, firstly, when an appreciable risk of suicide is apparent at any time. Secondly, when the extent of the patient's suffering appears to demand early intensive treatment. A third factor to consider is perhaps not quite so easy to define, but if a patient's thought disorders are such that his mental state constitutes a threat to his own employment or to his place in his family or in society, well, then I feel that one should seriously consider referring him.
Yes.
In such cases, a depressed patient often becomes his own worst enemy, and his feelings of guilt and self-reproach may lead to permanent damage in his personal and business relationships.
Yes, I think I get your point here. It's really a question of using one's own judgment with regard to patients' best interests.
Quite so. And finally, I suggest that if a patient has failed to respond to a reasonable period of treatment in general practice, then he should be referred for further help.
Well, thank you very much indeed. You've made it all very clear.
So?
Now, may I just sum up what you've said?
Please.
First, in general practice, the difficulty is to diagnose depression as the predominant feature of a mental illness.
Yes.
Once one's done that, classify the depression so that appropriate measures can be taken. Now, you've given a general outline of the ways in which depressive states manifest themselves, and also the types of depression under two general headings, psychoneurotic and psychotic.
Yes.
You've mentioned two main types of psychoneurotic depression, reactive depression and mixed depressive state. And you've given a list of types of psychotic depression, including simple endogenous depression, involutional melancholia, senile depression, postpartum depression, and you've also mentioned that depression may be associated with other mental and physical disease states. Now, is that right?
Quite right.
You've given the major criteria for referring a depressed patient for further advice: an appreciable risk of suicide, intense suffering to the patient, a threat to the patient's future family or social relationships, or failure to respond to a reasonable period of treatment.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's been a very great help to me in throwing light upon this subject. Thank you very much indeed.